is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Art from Masters of None, and with me is Mike.
Hi.
And Jay.
You.
How are your mustaches, boys?
Coming in nicely.
I've just got like 5 o'clock shadowy beard coming in all over.
I got 2 speckles of hair in my front lip. That's all I got.
You have a smattering of hairs. I'm doing pretty good, you know. How long, Jay, or both of you guys, have you grown it until you actually shave the beard off and it's just a mustache?
As long as I can stand it.
Okay.
15 to 16 days.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm at as well. I want to try to grow for like 2 weeks.
It's in my contract.
Yeah.
Our topic for tonight is going to be top 8.5 sidekicks. But before we go into that, tell us a little bit about you guys' venture over at Blue Point, man.
Oh, that was fun.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Speaking of, I'm drinking a delicious Blue Point Wet Hops Experiments.
Nice.
Awesome. They had 3 different wet hop beers this year.
The wet hop
right,
pick, topical
right,
was amazing.
Getting a free dinner.
You got a free dinner?
In fact, I know they were picked there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wasn't the guy there like right after you went?
Yep. We gave each other a high five. I was leaving. He was coming in. Did the Top Gun one. It was great.
Oh, this is sweet. Yeah, this is the pale ale too. This is the one I like the best. That's the one they bottled.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I like the Hoptical Illusion one, the wet hop. Oh,
yeah, the Amarillo hops.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so good.
Another one. Can't remember what it is.
I'm drinking a toasted lager. Mike?
Drinking a Mosaic IPA. The Session IPA. I had like a half of a drink in my mouth as I was trying to talk.
I think this is the first time we've ever picked up a Mosaic IPA.
Yes, it was the first
time having it.
No, the first time I had it was the last time we were there, and they had it. They only had it on tap. I don't think it was in the bottles yet.
Caskfest?
Yeah, Caskfest.
Yeah.
And I was all about it, man. It was good then, and I remember it being great, and it is. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the Movember was fun. It was cold and rainy, but we were under the tent. We set up. We got our hot towel shaves. I got massacred.
Yep. he did.
I did. I was literally dripping blood.
Well, Mike, I think on your picture, though, you look worse, though, Mike.
Well,
that's just Mike's face.
Oh!
Zing.
Wow. I did have blood on my face. You can see a little small dot on my chin.
I was literally dripping blood off of my face.
Yeah, he had multiple cuts.
The barber. Nice. All right, so let's get into it. Who wants to start off? Who's their 8.5 sidekick? Mike?
Penny and Brain from Inspector Gadget.
Nice.
My 8.5. They equal a half a person. Inspector Gadget annoyed me as a fucking kid. I don't know about you guys. Were you guys fans of Inspector Gadget?
Oh, go get you, Gadget.
Good damn.
I've watched it, yeah. I think we've expressed your disdain for Inspector Gadget before.
I hate it. I hate it like I hate Plinko.
Now you're going a little too far, mister.
I love it like a fat kid loves cake.
I hate Inspector Gadget. They do all the work. He gets all the fucking credit. It's a microcosm for the working world.
Sets you up. It's good life lessons.
Yeah, great.
Top 8.5 life lessons from Inspector Gadget. Go.
So that's my 8.5.
Ugh, nice. Jay?
My 8.5 is the T-Mobile sidekick.
Nice.
Hey, that's a good, hey, yeah.
Mine was Motorola sidekick. I have a couple of 8.5s, but that was one of them.
Well, I say T-Mobile, you say T-Mobile.
Nice. My 8.5 is Tattoo.
Oh, damn.
Short Round.
Okay, yeah.
And Jonathan Brandis from Sidekicks.
See, my number 8 was Sidekicks, the TV show, right?
No, it's a movie.
Movie.
With Chuck Norris.
Oh,
Chuck
I just
Norris
had side.
Jonathan side... Brandis.
I had sidekicks the TV show.
Nice.
I don't remember that show.
That was my next one. Yeah, it was the little Chinese kid. What the hell's his name? Oh, Ernie Reyes Jr. Remember him? He was like hot for a quick second in
yeah.
the 80s.
He was yeah, in Teenage and... Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Yes. And oh, Gil Gerard was like a cop. And he was like his little karate sidekick. And it was the show was called Sidekicks.
I don't remember.
And then the logo was like him, his foot like breaking the board to make the K and kicks.
Oh, God.
Hey, he was the last Electric Knight, you guys.
Oh.
Right, show some respect.
Wow.
I'm giving that a lot of respect. I love that as number eight. Nice.
So yeah, so Art picked literally all small midgets as we normally do. Somebody usually does.
That's great.
Was it Short Round Tattoo and who else?
Short Round Tattoo, Jonathan Brandis, and then Motorola Sidekick.
What about Mini-Me?
Oh, good. Nice.
Damn.
And
I missed
also,
all the midgets.
Yeah. You had, isn't it funny how midgets are sidekicks a lot of times?
Yeah.
Who was Pedro Martinez's midget?
Ooh, that's a good call.
You have a weird midget friend for a little while? The pitcher?
Yeah.
And then also Kid Rock had a midget.
Yeah.
Was that Joe,
Joe
Cool? Oh.
Cool Joe. What was his fucking name? What was that kid's name?
Joe Cool. It was Snoopy. Wearing sunglasses. But nobody noticed. People thought it was a midget.
It was Nelson De La Rosa was the sidekick for Pedro Martinez.
Hmm.
And he was often referred to as Pedro's lucky midget, which is definitely PC, right?
Beautifully PC.
Pedro's lucky midget. What are
I would,
you, like,
I would like
his
to
head
have,
for good luck.
No, I like the fact that it insinuates that he has more than one
yeah.
midget. Like, this is his lucky midget. This is his,
this is cooking this, midget.
This,
his name is Bakey.
This is his formal wear midget.
Bakey.
His alarm clock wakey.
Bakey and wakey.
This is his staycation midget.
Oh, nice. Mike, what's your number eight?
Penfold from Danger Mouse.
Oh, Stiletto. Hey, Stiletto.
Yeah. Were you guys fans of that?
Correct, I know, Chief. Yeah, I love that.
This will be good for our British fans, too, because, yeah, this is... I love this fucking cartoon growing up. I was Danger Mouse for Halloween.
Yep. We've been there, too.
That gives me some fucking street cred in London. Good old London town, right? Right. You go into town, they're like, what were you for Halloween, second grade? And I'll be like, Danger Mouse. And be like, all right, come on in. Welcome. Here's your table.
Mike, it's knighted.
Yeah, I'm getting knighted.
Sir Mike, you have the patch on.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Art, you missed our great auction, by the way.
Yes.
At the November thing. I think that was the highlight.
That was a lot of fun.
How much
we got
that
paid,
and Mike?
We got paid $15 just for our comedy prowess.
Nice.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some guys were like, oh, we didn't want to buy anything. You just made us laugh. Here's $15.
Damn. Well done.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Mike was holding up the shitty like animal paintings. And then I was just kind of bantering about them. We're just making up backstories to all these paintings. And everybody, what I think helped was everybody was also drunk by that point.
Oh, yeah.
At the very end.
It definitely helped.
We were just auctioning all these paintings for like 100 pennies. We were going backwards in bidding.
The
people
best
like,
was
-$4. You yeah. give me $4.
Some guy, we started a bid at -$4, and some guy won the picture for $0.
Yes. Zero was the winning bid.
Zero was the winning bid. We were like, sold. Absolutely. Here you go. My favorite part about that was it made everybody before him who actually paid money look stupid because they just could have waited for that.
I feel like at some point somebody bid just like an inanimate object, like that's not even money.
Pork.
I feel like that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Popcorn. I'll bid 3 popcorn.
Nice.
But yeah, we made $56 for our Movember team, thanks to all the people in attendance. That was great.
Yeah. Go vote. Go donate it for us, you fuckers. We never asked for shit. So throw a few bucks our way. Go to, what is it? I think it's mobro.co/mastersofnone.
/mastersofno.
Give me some out.
So yeah, throw us a few bucks.
Yeah. Check it out on our Facebook page if you want to see the link.
And make a comment on iTunes while you're there.
Yes, please.
My number eight is Tonto.
Tonto.
Tonto. Nice. Lone Ranger, what are you, 60?
Yes, I'm giving everybody a Werther's Original right now.
I was the only one. You mean Johnny Depp, right?
No.
Are you talking?
No.
No?
The old Tonto.
OG Tonto?
OG. Oh, we're bringing it back old school, yes.
Who was the OG Tonto?
Mike Douglasson. What?
You're funny guy, man.
Thanks, man. All right. Go back to you for number seven.
Chewbacca. Yes. He could get away with so much with so little.
Wait, was Chewbacca just eating something delightful at the end of that? What was that?
He was sucking on a Werther's Original. That was my number two.
I knew you had yours up there, man.
Oh, of course. Anytime you're carrying a bandolier.
Which he never used, by the way.
Yeah, he had a laser gun, but he had a bandolier. Like, what was in there? Laser? Which laser? It was just a box of laser.
You know, since I moved into my new house, I had to borrow a cup of laser from my neighbor.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's actually a bunch of mini combs that he puts in there.
Maybe they're harmonicas.
Is that John Popper? Side effects of
Chewpopper. Countdown till how fast Art has a Photoshop of that in 3, 2.
Yeah, I'm not talking for the next 15 minutes.
When you're traveling, trying to break the, what is it, parsec record or something? Something, Kessel Run?
Yes.
Right? Something, something, nerdy, something.
Something, something.
Something, something, nerdy.
All right, who's up, me?
Yep.
Yeah.
My number 7. I'm getting literary right here, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Y'all ready for some literature talk?
Hit it.
Sally Kimball.
Nobody knows who that is. Nobody knows who that is.
She is a member of the Encyclopedia Brown books.
Yes.
She was his gal pal, who was the muscle for Encyclopedia Brown.
That's
right. He was out solving kid mysteries.
Kid mysteries, which there happened to be a lot of.
Of course. Yeah, she was his bodyguard, basically.
Yeah.
And sidekick.
I do remember that. Holy shit. But I completely forgot the name from my memory. It's been so long since I've read Encyclopedia Brown.
Hell yeah. It's awesome, man. I highly recommend it.
Oh,
read it to your unborn child right through your wife's stomach.
Mm.
Or Funkin' Wagnalls Red.
Funkin' Wagnalls Red?
Yeah.
What is that, the fall seasonal of encyclopedias?
Encyclopedia Brown? No? All right.
Oh, my God. Mike, I hope you have the sound effect ready, please.
Oh, this one?
Wait for it.
Oh.
Oh, forget it.
No, I played it. Oh, you guys didn't hear it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I played it. Sorry.
Are we waiting for it, or is it?
No, I played it over the. I played it in the.
Well, go for my 7.
Oh, you did your 7. Go ahead.
My homie Kato from the Green Hornet.
That is my number 1, sir.
No!
Wow.
Damn you, Kato.
Why Kato?
Because this is one of those times where the sidekick is truly bigger and better than the fucking person who he's the sidekick of, which would be, what, the hero? The regular guy?
Mm-hmm.
Green Hornet sucks. He's stupid. He doesn't know anything. All he is, he's rich. Kato uses his richness to fucking kick ass, make inventions, and all that shit. Not only that, Kato's fucking Bruce Lee. That is the fucking coolest sidekick ever to have.
That is pretty good.
Bruce fucking Art, Lee. Three-inch punch.
Yeah, 3-inch punch. Right. No, I think from what Mike said, too. And plus, I think over in Asia, he was, Kato was the number one guy. It was, and I think the Green Hornet was the sidekick in those shows.
As well, he should be, man.
Yeah.
Fucking Kato ruled. Hardcore. Even that dude that played him in that shitty fucking movie was awesome.
Seth Rogen?
Yeah. No. The guy that played Kato, I mean.
Yeah, he was good. He was like the best thing in that movie, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking great.
Oh, good call.
All right, my 6 from the video game Sonic the Hedgehog Tails.
Nice.
Because Tails was awesome. Tails, he fucking, if you were playing Sonic and somebody grabbed a one player game and somebody grabbed the second controller, you can control Tails and that motherfucker would never die. Plus, he'd save your ass. You could have it where he could save your ass every time. He was like the best cheat code ever that you could play with.
Nice. I never played that game.
Oh, I love that game.
What do you think, Jay?
What I think of what?
I never played.
Game I didn't play.
Yeah, it's great. I never played that game. What'd you think? The Bears.
All right. Your number six, Jay?
My number six is Milhouse.
Nice.
None of you guys had Milhouse?
No, I didn't have Milhouse.
Whoa!
What? Did you?
I'm shocked.
Did you, Art?
No.
No?
I don't want to steal your thunder.
Well, apparently Jay did.
No,
shit,
he
fucked,
did.
Fucked up.
He got the cojones.
Yeah. Milhouse is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, he's the yang to Bart's ying, right?
Yeah.
And everything comes up Milhouse.
Everything always comes up Milhouse, even in this day and age.
Yep.
And Milhouse himself also played a sidekick. Remember, he played Fallout Boy to Radioactive Man.
That's right.
So that's a sidekick within a sidekick. That's like a fucking Inception sidekick right there.
Where's the horn? Oh, wait, you can't use
it. I got it.
Minus points for the band being named after Fallout Boy.
Yeah, minus points on that one. But yeah.
Who's next?
I am. Number six for me is James Rhodes, War Machine.
Rhodey. Nice.
Iron Man. Yeah.
He's got a really bigger part in the comics, right? Like, he's not just kind of like a sidekick. He's technically now his own comic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So is he kind of like Marvel's version of Nightwing?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, he does his own thing. With Nightwing, he had, you know, he was Batman's first sidekick as Robin. And then he just went his own way. I mean, where James Rhodes kind of helped Iron Man, and he got the suit, and then became War Machine, and then he took over the mantle of Iron Man, and then became War Machine again, and then he was kind of his own thing. Similar, but not exact, I would say.
Gotcha. Okay.
Was he in 3? Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. Okay. But not in Avengers?
No. Not in Avengers.
Is that a humph of... Just
the humph of racism.
Yeah.
The humph of racism.
Like the .org.
Yes.
It's my new anti-racism website.
Sounds like a novel or something.
The humph of racism.
A humph of racism. By Elliot P.
Gould.
Okay, somebody mentioned, all right, I think you mentioned him. Short Round.
Yeah.
Is my number 876, what is this, 6, 5?
You gotta love a good sidekick with a lot of good one-liners.
Oh, Short Round had a lot of great lines, especially because he was Data from Goonies, too.
Oh, yeah. That is an important characteristic of a good sidekick.
Good one-liners?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have the right words for the right moment.
Kind of the comic relief as well. The tension releaser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Short Round was definitely all of those things. But then whatever happened to him? He's a kid that they just kind of throw at you in the second one, and then he doesn't come up in any of the other movies.
He probably died.
It was...
I mean, he almost died a bunch of times, and that was only in like an hour and a half.
Right.
You know? So, probably dead.
He's now selling comic books in Red Bank.
I think he's playing right field for the New York Yankees.
All right. So, my number 5 is also literary. I'm going to go Dr. Watson, although he's a movie, too.
Like the thing that used to come up on like Windows when you had an issue with your computer? No?
Say what?
You never got a message from good old Dr. Watson?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No one knows what I'm talking about.
No idea what you're talking about. No idea what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about Mr. Randy Watson. Yeah, he is.
Watson's great because he's always the level-headed side of Sherlock Holmes. Puts up with a ton of shit.
Yeah.
Ton of shit. Always kind of leaves. Always comes back, though. And... You throw a hell of a bare knuckle punch as well.
Yes, he does. He did engage in fisticuffs rather well.
Mm-hmm.
What did you just send us?
Why do I smell?
This is nothing, dude. This is
not... Actually, go to the second one. The one I just sent. The photo weirdo one.
Yeah. All right.
Computer humor.
You just wasted 3 minutes of my time.
You're welcome.
I was hoping it would be Chewbobba. What was it? Chew Popper?
No, it wasn't Chew Popper.
It sounds like an appetizer at TGI Fridays.
I'd
like some Chew Poppers, please.
Some extreme fajitas.
With extra cheese. Endless Chew Poppers. They're good.
That was incredible. Holy shit. That's fucking funny.
Now in your frozen freezer section.
Some new zesty gum. Chew. Give me a pack of Chew Poppers, Mom. Oh.
My number five is Luigi.
Nice. Great. Speaking of great mustaches of all time.
Yeah. Here we go.
Not as good as Mario's, because Mario has that weird, like, round thing going on the bottom.
Like, round that thing? Up. Oh, like...
It, you know, like, it's... Like it makes, like, yeah. It's like clouds bolts. Underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Luigi's is just regular.
Luigi's is thinner, I think, right?
No, I think just Mario's has that round, those little round cloud bottom, and then Luigi's is regular.
The round clown bottom.
Cloud bottom. There's also another good British surname.
Yes. Lord Cloudbottom.
Bennington Cloudbottom.
Benedict Cloudbottom. Number four. This is the world of comics as well as movies. Hit Girl.
Oh. Yes. Hit Girl's
again, one of those sidekicks that's almost better, is better than the fucking hero.
I would almost argue that fucking Kick-Ass is the sidekick.
Yeah, true. Kind of, sort of. But the thing is that she's also a sidekick to Nicolas Cage when he was alive.
True. Okay, I'll give you that. So yes, definitely started then as a sidekick.
Art's playing with toys again. So that's my four.
Nice.
She's fucking awesome. Hit Girl rules.
I totally agree. Nice job, Jason.
My number four is
Google.com.
No. Fuck search. I had a last minute change.
Okay.
I just pulled out my number three and replaced it.
Oh.
This one's so good. I missed over. My number four is Styles from Teen Wolf.
Nice. What are you looking at, Dick Nose?
The movie. The movie. Bullshit TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a Styles in that show.
Yeah, there is. He's like a handsome young lad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Do you have a poster of him?
On my ceiling.
Nice.
He's a lad.
But yeah, Styles is it's hard to tell if Styles. I think he's just a loser who's trying to be like the you know, the life of the party. Do you get that, or was he actually cool? Or was he just a dork trying to be cool?
Styles?
Yeah.
The latter. He was a dork trying to be cool.
I don't know,
I can totally relate.
Because you know what it is? I think like he was the cool one in like his own group. Because like you look at like... Although no, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to think. Because he does like run like the sexy games at the party. Like he's like the MC kind of.
Yeah.
But then they go... It's the same party, I think, they go to. And he brings the keg. And there's like 500 kegs. And he's like, oh...
Right,
because only the loser would do that, but yet then he's running like you know all the weird, sexy party games.
Yeah, I think he's like the class clown type of popular, maybe.
Right.
He's popular.
So he probably doesn't. He gets invited to the parties, but he doesn't go home with a girl type of thing. You know what I mean?
Right. No one takes him seriously. That
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
Right. And yes, the What Are You Looking At Dick Nose t-shirt is just fantastic.
Classic.
Absolutely classic. Who has better t-shirts? Him or Booger from Revenge of the Nerds?
Booger's Who Farted t-shirt.
That's a good one.
It's a great one.
Or the dude from fucking Real Genius.
Yes.
So many t-shirts. We could do a separate episode on 80s movie t-shirts.
All right. My number four is Gazoo.
Wow.
Really?
But who was he the sidekick to?
Fred?
I think that Gazoo would disagree that he's any sort of sidekick. He's a fucking, like, magical alien.
Not to mention you picking a fucking sidekick that a lot of people hate.
Yeah.
And that's why I like
the
him.
Scrappy Doo of the Flintstones.
He really is the Scrappy Doo of the Flintstones.
That's why I like him.
And if anyone's a sidekick on that show, it's Barney.
Right.
Gazoo better than Barney? It's a controversial pick, Art, especially so high on the list.
Wow. Controversy.
It's a new Prince song. All right. Mike, number three.
My number three.
So wait. Defend your pick, man.
I don't really consider him like his own entity. I thought he would always like come and piss off Fred, and it was just like he had some comic relief. I liked him, and I thought he was more of a sidekick. Like he was the summer Barney.
The summer Barney.
Yeah.
Like Barney's at a summer house in the Hamptons. Gazoo comes in, hangs out with Fred.
Yep.
But he didn't even like Fred, did he? He always called him Dum Dum.
Yeah, I felt
that's
like
right, Dum Dum.
I felt like that was a sidekick trying to, you know, be the number one guy, but never got to it. So he's just always trying to put everybody else down. He had sidekick syndrome, SKS.
We're actually raising money for that next month.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
SKS on KS.
It's Christmas KS.
On PBS.
With a PBJ.
Yep. That's your donation, is just a bunch of PBJs. All right, number three for you, Mike.
This sidekick, I think, completely makes, and is another one of the people that could be considered better, or makes the hero better, because there's nothing without a sidekick. And that would be Andy Richter.
Nice.
Mm.
Andy Richter makes Conan better. Absolutely.
Yeah, he is underrated in that. He really, really does know when to jump in and when not to.
Yeah.
And then every time he does jump in, it's just crushes.
It's perfect.
And then anytime like a guest tries to bring him in, he's like ready and always has like a comeback and shit. He really is good. Like if you ever like heard him like just improv shit, he's fucking so quick, man. He's so smart.
He is.
Good he call, rolls. Man.
He does not get the credit he deserves.
Well, he gets my credit because number three on my
list.
Booyah.
Jake, three for you.
My number three, and I won't say who my three was that I replaced him with, but Flavor Flav. Dude.
Are we talking about Flavor Flav now or back in the day?
Well, Flavor Flav back in the day.
All right, good.
Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, sidekick to Chuck D. Without Flavor Flav, Public Enemy is just NWA. They're the no fun league without Flavor Flav. He's the greatest hype man of all time. He's the best. Like, you can't have all that seriousness in Chuck D without the ridiculousness of Flavor Flav.
Yes.
Giant clock necklace. The fucking greatest.
Right.
Best hype man of all time.
All right. That's strong argument, sir.
Later, Flavor Flav, awful. Like, what he's become is not even like the clown prince. Now he's just the clown, but still the greatest hype man.
Well said.
Yeah, dude.
My number three, Harley Quinn.
Oh.
Wow.
She was, in the beginning, was like a therapist at Arkham, then got totally flipped and enamored with Joker. She became his sidekick, and then she does all the dirty work. Well, maybe not all the dirty work, but most of the dirty work. And even though he tries to kill her, she comes back for more. That's loyalty.
I didn't know her origin story. I didn't know she was that. Pretty cool. All right, good call.
Thanks. Number two for you, Michael.
For me, number two, I think, is on everybody's sidekick list. That would be Robin.
It's my number one.
Nice. Not on mine. Not on yours?
Nope.
Because.
I don't know. Why? I don't get it at all.
I think it's
I can think of one reason why.
Well, I'll tell you why that I picked him. It's not just the one Robin. It's not just Dick Grayson. You got to consider all the Robins, and there's actually been some pretty cool fucking Robins. Like Nightwing was Robin. Damian Wayne was Robin, who then ended up being what did he become?
Damian Wayans?
Damian Wayne. Mo money.
How you living?
What?
How you living?
What?
How you living?
What?
Living color. Yeah.
There you go. Thanks.
But I think Robin is better as on his own. I mean, Nightwing is no longer a sidekick.
True, but that did come from somewhere. He came from Robin.
Yeah, but he's not a sidekick anymore. He's Nightwing. He's not even Robin anymore. I mean, much
it's
like
the same guy. Like it's the same
girl. But it's I don't know, different name, different outfit. No.
It's the same person. It's Dick Grayson.
So then Dick Grayson is the greatest sidekick? Yeah, I don't know.
Robin. I would say Robin.
Yeah, I'd say Robin too, yeah.
That's my pick. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, that's my pick too. My number two pick.
My number two, going old school TV here. I'm going
Boner
with Ed Norton from The Honeymooners.
Very nice.
Yeah, the original wacky neighbor, best friend. Just awesome. Anytime he comes in, dude, it's instant comedy. And that shit still stands up today. I defy anybody to watch The Honeymooners and not laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. For me, like that, all those, like, just the characters were all just freaking perfect. And it just like set that whole standard for, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there was shit before it that I probably don't know about, but I don't know. As far as like TV sitcoms, dude, it was so simple.
What about Amos and Andy?
So perfect. And just anytime Ed Norton, dude, the perfect foil, the perfect like best pal, and just fucking hilarious physical comedy. Just awesome. Guy, he just fucking walks in, the whole crowd goes crazy. Like, did that ever happen before on TV? I don't know. But without Ed Norton, there's no Kramer. There's no freaking Jim from Taxi. There's none of the wacky neighbors. He was the original.
Larry from Three's Company.
Yep. Set the standard.
My two and one have already been spoken about. It was Chewbacca number two and Robin number one.
All right.
My number one was Kato.
Kato!
Nobody picked R2-D2, huh?
Nah, no. I didn't.
Neither did I.
Wouldn't the movies have ended after the first one, if not for R2-D2, right? Without him fixing the X-Wing, the Death Star does not get blown up, crashes into a wall and dies. End of trilogy. End of everything.
I guess. I consider C-3PO and R2-D2 as like they're friends to each other, and then they're just along for the ride.
Well, I think R2 is 3PO's sidekick, but is also Luke's sidekick, kind of. No? He's kind of like everybody's sidekick.
It can only be one sidekick.
It can be only one.
I see where you're throwing down.
Like, he's a sidekick to the whole gang. And without him, too, carrying the message
to the whole gang.
Obi-Wan to everybody, again, there's nothing.
We're in our clubhouse, the whole gang.
All right, whatever. I didn't pick him anyway. I pulled him off the list for Flavor Flav. No, so, I'm with you.
They're not in any way. Come on.
I don't need to argue that hard. Also, another one I just saw here on some other list is Inigo Montoya. No?
He wouldn't make my top 8.5.
Well, he didn't make mine either, but it's a good one.
He was at 9.
Sidekick to a shitty bad guy. Amazing. Great character. Goes on to eclipse his role. All right. My number one is Teller.
Teller what?
Teller. I don't even know her.
Oof.
Oop.
Teller, Penn and Teller. Perfect yin and yang, Penn and Teller. The one big, loudmouth guy. And then the short guy, doesn't talk. insane musician. Musician? Not an insane musician. An insane magician, I should say.
You just love him because he's a small guy. And he doesn't talk like this!
Right, he doesn't. He's not a Disney sidekick. He's awesome, underrated. He's oft-times the victim. Plays his part well, and does everything without talking. Pretty sweet. I think without Teller, there's absolutely no Penn whatsoever.
It's definitely the gimmick.
Penn's a juggling clown. That's it.
How do we judge this one? Who's the best?
Who'd you have as number two, Mike?
I had Robin.
Yeah, I had him as number one.
That's the end of that.
Yeah.
I didn't have anybody you guys had.
Serves you right then.
Yeah.
Sure it does.
You had Kato too, right, Art?
Yeah.
What did you have Kato at, Art?
Number seven.
I had him at one.
All right, let's put in the Dewey Decimal System, and we probably get Robin, then Kato.
And then you both had Chewbacca, didn't you?
Yeah.
And we both had Chewbacca, and we both had Short Round.
Oh, boy. So it goes...
Short Round at 8.5. What'd you have him at?
8.5.
I had him at 5.
And what'd you both have Chewbacca at?
2.
7.
I think Chewbacca's third.
So Robin, Kato, Chewbacca?
Yep. Which is also what you should name your kid, Mike.
I was thinking about using it for my security alarm password.
Look at her, little Robin, Kato, Chewbacca, go gel. That's pretty perfect. Although I think they did that bit on the league already.
This is Brinks Home Security. Can I have your password, please? Yes, Robin, Kato, Chewbacca. Thank you. Thank you, mister. What's the problem? Someone's broken into my house.
And they're stealing my bandolier.
Full of lasers.
Don't open them up!
They're actually harmonicas that shoot lasers.
It doesn't matter.
Each note has its own little tiny laser.
I learned today you can carry a laser in a bandolier.
A harmonica bandolier.
So there you have it. Top 8.5 sidekicks of all time. For Mike.
Bye, guys.
For Jay.
Oh, wait, all right. Didn't you have an interview we're supposed to tack on to this or no?
Yeah, so I had a chance to interview Tom Cavanaugh from the CW show The Flash. He plays Dr. Harrison Wells. We talked about his role and then also about a couple of movies he's got coming up called The Games Maker and 400 Days. Hey, everybody, it's Art on the line. I'm happy to have actor and father Tom Cavanaugh. You can check him out as Harrison Wells on the fantastic new series The Flash on the CW. Thanks for taking the time, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good, Art. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
My pleasure, man. And first of all, the show was fantastic. I love the cast. You play Harrison Wells, which now the fans, after a couple of episodes, spoiler alert, we see a little facets of both good and bad in you. How much will we see of his endgame in this season?
Bad? Art, bad? Well, I take huge offense, sir. Bad. Listen, if you're talking about episode 2, I mean, are we allowed to talk about this? We can talk about episode 2. It's aired already, right?
Yes, sir.
I feel like that's fair game for the blogs and for everything. Listen, what happened at the end of episode 2, if that's bad in your books, well, I'm protecting poor Barry Allen. Listen, if Barry Allen can't take a shiv and stick it in the heart of a man who means him harm, well then, somebody's got to do that. And so I guess I'm elected that guy. I'm happy to protect the Flash. He's an institution. One must protect the Flash.
You know what? I didn't look at that way.
You took the route that murder is wrong. Listen, don't listen to everything that the judges of the world and the legal system tell you. You're just going to be constrained in your life that way, Art.
Thanks for that enlightenment. I appreciate
it. By the way, I hope nobody listens to that. Like, this is a dad podcast, and he's like, son, flaunt the rules. make up your own way. The worst advice a parent could give.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. Parental warning advisor, I guess, on the show. No, I'm just joking.
100%. Maybe it might not be the worst advice to that, go your own way and flaunt your rules. That's the thumb your nose at some of the larger precepts of the social mores that we have, like do not kill.
Yeah.
Not to mention religion. That might be not a good teaching to pass on to your children.
Yeah, I think that was on a tablet somewhere that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Here's like a rule of thumb. If it's on a tablet in the days of yore, yeah, heed this warning.
Nice. Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation on who Harrison Wells could be. Could he be the anti-Flash or what have you? And just the fact that Harrison is in a wheelchair, but then he gets up when he wants to, again, creates a lot of speculation. Are we going to kind of see that as well?
I recently flew from my home in New York City, and while we were waiting to get on the plane, they had the first class people and then the business class people and then people with kids go ahead and load on, and that's all fine with me. You know, you're sitting back there, and then it's my turn to board. I'm in like boarding group, you know, E, and you're like, okay, great. So, you know, we kind of approaching the gate, and then this dude in a wheelchair comes. Now, listen, let's get things straight. I'm all for letting people in the wheelchair go forward, but this dude gets out of the wheelchair and practically jogs down the gangway. I'm like, what is up? you know? And at first I'm like, wait a minute, is this like, because here's the thing, if this is an airport scam to just get on the plane, A, brilliant, B, karmically the worst thing you could think of, I think. You know, like, karmically, you're going to get punished, pal. Like, you're just going to get hammered, you know? So I'm watching this guy kind of like jog down the, what is it called, the gangway, the gangplank, the, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The runway, whatever that thing is, your listeners will know. And then I think to myself, maybe in this, it's just a little bit of Harrison Wells. The guy's touring around when he wants to. And when it suits his purposes and his legs feel rejuvenated, he stands up.
Yeah. He could be like Harrison Wells or George Costanza.
Yes. Perfect. Listen, anytime you're following in like the path of like a guy who's like a legendary, like they're going to make a bust of him in the Comic Hall of Fame, then you're not doing so bad. Listen, I know I'm not indirectly not answering your question at all, but I'm not allowed to.
I know.
You know how that is, like the network, the studio, Warner Brothers, they've got snipers on me at every turn. And so, you know, one has to be careful.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because people say that their scripts are on red paper, so you can't photocopy them. So they think well in advance of, like, you know, how to keep the secrets in. And, you know, you've been in many great films and shows like Ed, of course, that people love you from and I love you from. But a show like The Flash, with you, you have a lot of comic geeks and a lot of fans of The Flash. When these movies or shows come out, there's a lot of pressure built, like, put on the cast. Did you guys kind of feel that when you started filming the series?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Good.
You know, Jesse and I have spoken, you know, he's doing his job. There is very much for us, like, if anyone feels pressure, it could possibly be Grant, only because, you know, he's inhabiting a role that has existed for, you know, well nigh 100 years, you know, and there's certain expectations there, but he's handling it remarkably well. And I think the largest ethos on set would be one of gratitude, you know? And so instead of feeling pressure, we're really, I know it sounds kind of corny, but we're really happy to be together. We really do enjoy working with each other. We really do enjoy the job. And so I think instead of pressure, the overall sense is one of gratitude, which is great. We love coming to shoot the show. It's a fun show to do. It's a fun world to habitate. And I guess speaking just solely for myself, you know, I don't see any pressure there. I think that if you didn't have this job, there'd be pressure to get a job like this. And now that now that we have it, we're like, that's great. You know?
Again,
boom, fired. You're fired. What? Wait.
Your perspective on things are fantastic. With The Flash, of course, you're going to be hitting the Comic-Cons, San Diego, New York, and all that.
Yeah, we did Comic-Con already this year. It was crazy.
Yeah, so was that the first time you were actually on a panel?
Well, I mean, I've done panels before, but not on the level of expectation in terms of, you know, like, people are camping out at 3 o'clock in the morning for the 8 p.m. Flash panel the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and you sort of like want to swallow your urge to say, go home, you know, show up on the day and get a ticket, hopefully, you know, or I'll get you in. You can walk in with me, you know, like that kind of thing, you know. But I, on the other hand, that kind of following is what we benefit massively, massively from it, you know. And for us, Comic-Con was terrific, although I kind of missed out a little bit on like the convention floor. And I heard only too late the year before that Bryan Cranston walked around the floor in a Bryan Cranston mask. And then for his panel, walked out and then took off the mask. And the guy that everyone had seen walking around with a Bryan Cranston mask was actually Bryan Cranston. So I think next year I'm going to walk around in a Bryan Cranston mask.
Nice. Love it. Speaking of just interacting with the fans, you are on social media. Do you guys, as a cast, maybe try and make an effort to live tweet during the show to interact with the fans at all, or no?
I don't live tweet because I think the more people hear from me, the less they're going to want to hear from me.
Okay.
But I do think that, I think Grant has, and I think Danielle Panabaker, who is brilliant, I think she has. And I think there's a number of people who would be much better at that kind of thing than I am. I do think the cast has sort of embraced the social media aspect, which is, for a show like this, I think nice. You know, people are like grateful and happy to answer questions, and, you know, like the fact that it's a bit of a phenomenon on the social media. That's a nice little benefit to the show.
Excellent. This is probably another question you probably can't answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways because I'm a comic geek. Can you tell me if we're going to possibly see any other villains or heroes? I know we saw Arrow in the first episode, which is great. I love like those crossovers. Can we see any other DC Universe characters from the season at all, or can you not say?
I don't know what I can say, and I better not say anything.
Okay.
I mean, that's a question you should ask like Greg Berlanti or Andrew Kreisberg or Jeff Johns. But I will say this. We're popular. Like, Here's what I liken each one of our episodes to, if we're doing it right. If we're doing it right, it's kind of like when you actually open a physical comic book.
Yep.
And, you know, if it's a long-running series, you're never disappointed. You know, there's each comic book has its own story and offers up its own reward. You know, you don't have to keep watching. There's not a, like, you don't have to keep, you do want to keep reading at the end, but there's not like, well, this was just a setup to be continued. We're sort of like coming out of the gate and doing our best to fill our each episode. I know the first nine, which is what we've completed.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone that is a fan will be disappointed. We're not trying to hold anything back. We realize that, you know, shows get canceled all the time. This is our one attempt to make a show that we dearly want to make called The Flash. So we don't want to leave stuff on the table that, oh, we were expecting to do that in season two and season two never came. So I think that there's an honest effort on our part. And so in terms of like people showing up and villainry and heroes and all that kind of stuff, we've got all of that. I think that if people watch, they will not disappoint it. We're coming out of the gate in a hurry.
Yeah, you guys are. Like, seriously, no pun intended right there. But you guys, I when you said you're trying to be a comic book each episode, I totally get that, man. And you guys are doing a fantastic job. So I hope season two and three and more, you know, seasons for you guys, because I'm digging the show so far. And I saw that you're in a couple films, 400 Days and The Games Maker. Can you talk a little bit about those films?
Yeah, absolutely, I can. Well, The Games Maker, I'll do that first because we shot that in an earlier shoot. That was a bit of a fantasy world, different than The Flash, but a kind of a cool story. It's based on a Latin American novel by that same title. And then, so we made an English language version of that film. And it's basically about a young guy that has like this ability to make up games and then comes embroiled in a bit of a nasty universe where his talents are, he's pushed and pulled for his talents in many, many different directions. It ends up with me in a hot air balloon screaming and trying to trying to act heroically, and that in and of itself is going to be, I'm sure, a comedic moment. But we shot it in Argentina.
Nice.
It was a blast to shoot. Interestingly enough, the young guy is played by David Masseuse, who's actually now playing the young Bruce Wayne on another comic book show right now called Gotham.
And
we became quite close, and I think he's tremendous. And if you watch anything at Gotham, you can see he's incredibly talented. He sort of leads the charge on The Games Maker, and Ray Fiennes and I are in there, and we just had we were in a bunch of exotic locales down there in Argentina, and there was a lot, you know, we had like a decent amount of, they had like a decent budget to it, so we got to do a lot of kind of cool tricks and fun things. So I think it's open down there, and I heard it's doing well, though I don't know if anybody would actually call me and say, hey, you know that movie you did is doing poorly. So I don't really know how true that is.
Yeah.
And I guess the next step would be a North American release on the heels of that. I'm not quite sure when that'll happen.
Cool. So
that's The Games Maker, and then 400 Days was, I just loved shooting 400 Days. I think that is like one of the most fun shoots I have ever done. It's an independent film, kind of a gritty independent film with a bit of a Twilight Zone premise. These four cosmonauts are put in a simulated spaceship and have to last 400 days. And then it turns out as the movie goes along that perhaps it's not such a simulation at all. I play a mysterious and dark character. And I won't give much of it away, but it's Dane Cook and Katie Lotz, Ben Feldman and Brandon Routh and I. And we just had a blast shooting it. It's one of the most taut and compelling scripts I've read in a long, long time. And I think it would satisfy, you know, the comic book genre as well as, you know, anybody that's kind of into that kind of a sci-fi fantasy or mystery Twilight Zone kind of thing. It's a really well-written script.
Yeah.
By Matt Osterman, directed by him. And I think it's I'm hoping that one gets people to see it somewhere down the line. Like, we're still in post-production on that, so I guess it would be coming out in a half a year or so, but, you know, fingers crossed for that one.
Very cool, man. Can't wait for those movies. And Tom, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. People, make sure you check out The Flash on the CW Tuesday. Of course, we'll put links. And also check out his movies, The Game Maker and The 400 Days and anything else he's doing.
Thanks for having me on, Art. I appreciate it. Fun time.
Yeah, you take care, man.
All right, man. Be well. Bye. Cheers.
Yep. Bye. Cool. So there you have it. Hope you guys like the interview with Tom Cavanaugh. Of course, recap, top 8.5 sidekicks start with Robin, Kato, and Chewbacca. None of anybody that Jay had on his list at all, right?
Nice. Yeah, boy. Yeah.
We'll give Flavor Flav a number 4 spot just to make him happy and give him a lollipop. So, this is for Mike.
Yeah.
For Jay.
Goodbye.
All right. See you.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures. So much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name. I'll tell you that right now.
Papa too many.
Someone had it and they were like, we want that. We gotta get it.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.